Sono Ferenc Mate da Montalcino in Toscana e io viaggio sempre con Rick Steves. That means in English, I'm Ferenc Mate from Montalcino, Tuscany, and I travel with Rick Steves. Sono Ferenc Mate e io viaggio sempre con Rick Steves. Thank you.
Of all the travel shows on TV, among my favorites are the ones hosted by Samantha Brown. For a dozen years now, Samantha's been finding fun all around the world and sharing it with all of us. Starting with Passport to China, her series have covered destinations in Asia, Latin America, and Europe. And she's been highlighting domestic getaways in her Great Weekend series, too. Samantha Brown joins us today to tell us how she makes sharing the highlights of the world into her job and to fill us in on her latest adventures. Samantha, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Rick.
You know, I just love watching your show. You go to all these great places, but there's something you inject. Can I say a perkiness?
Sure, I don't find that word offensive at all. I think that hits it on the nose, yes.
And it just makes you want to jump up and get on a plane and go hug some person from a country far away.
I make the world huggable, is that what you're saying?
That's right, yeah.
Okay,
and
good.
Does that come naturally? Is that how you are in everyday life?
Absolutely. And, you know, when I started the job, I had zero travel experience, just zero. And starting a job, well, it's a dream job, and I knew that from the beginning, but also to now have a job where you're showing people the world and yet you don't have that experience yourself, I found that instead of trying to be, may I say you, because I've obviously admired your work, I wasn't Rick Steves, I wasn't Lonely Planet, I wasn't Rudy Maxa, so I knew that I had to be something else, and something else was just myself, and I was discovering the world for the first time. So at the time we did Passport to Europe, which was, gosh, I don't know, 8-9 years ago. And instead of projecting being an expert or that, hey, I know what I'm doing, I instead thought, well, let's invite people to join me on my discovery as I was seeing the world for the first time. And as you know, it's very wide-eyed and bushy-tailed when you get to not only travel, but also that it's your job. So it came very naturally.
I'm sure the people at the Travel Channel recognize that we're going there and experiencing it for our first time with Samantha. I remember talking to you earlier, and I was struck by the fact that you're really a television host first, and then you found this gig as a traveler. Do you remember when it hit you that, oh, this travel is actually a lot of fun?
Yeah, this travel is actually better than being in television in general. Yeah, because my background is acting.
Was it right away? Was it?
It was probably 3 years into it. And I will say that even after Europe, it was really Latin America, Rick, that I caught what people call the travel bug, that I realized what my passion was. Because I found being in Europe, you have such an intense itinerary of all these things we were brought up loving and admiring through books, literature, paintings, you know, the Louvre, the Colosseum, the Eiffel Tower. And therefore, there's a lot of pressure just to be in the past in Europe, I found.
Right.
Maybe not pressure, but just, you know, must-dos are always the museums and the monuments and castles. And it wasn't until...
Right, the obligatory stuff.
Yeah, right. And of course, you have to see these things. You have to. But when I got to Latin America, you know, they don't have that infrastructure that Europe has. They don't have all the pomp and circumstance. And then so it enabled me to relax and spend more time just being in the moment with the people themselves. Instead of understanding what, you know, the European culture was like and how it's been there since, you know, the Greeks and the Romans, you're there in the moment, in the present. And I just found that electrifying. So that's when I thought this for me is what travel is about.
And that's two sides of a coin. You can go to the Parthenon and understand, you know, the story of ancient Greece, and you can go to Wittenberg and understand about the Reformation. Or you can go to a market in Guatemala and just laugh with the people that you're meeting.
Absolutely, and get a bowl of their chicken soup and sit beside them and have absolutely no idea what they're saying, but their expressions are exactly how our expressions are, and you can communicate without words between you. And it's a different approach, and I think the balance of the two is what ultimately what people should be going for in their travels.
You know, I find, Sam, when I'm traveling, and my beat is Europe, so I spend most of my travel time there, but I oftentimes just find myself thinking, life is good. Life is good. As a matter of fact, just spontaneously on my last show in Venice, I closed it not with, you know, keep on traveling, but I closed it with, life is good. Be thankful.
Yeah.
And I think
a
lot of people who don't get out don't recognize it. If you just sit at home and watch the TV news, you think life is not that good. But you can be on a ridge in the Andes or in a market in Guatemala or something like that and really celebrate life. Take me to one moment in Latin America where you just got giddy about life.
I was in Peru, And we were about 2 days away from going to Machu Picchu. And we had a day off, and we were in Cusco.
What is it? It's like 10 or 12,000 feet up there, isn't it? I mean, it's amazing.
Yes, exactly. So I was in Cusco, Peru, and I set out for a nice hike because it's just a beautiful area, and I was just going to take this road up and go. And as I was hiking, an older gentleman joined me. We were both sort of, you know, walking, and he was spoke Spanish. I don't know if he was Peruvian or not, but, you know, he started talking to me. Oh, lo siento, no español, or un poco, solamente un poco. And so we had this really great conversation. His name was, you know, mi nombre es Armand. His name was Armand. I'm like, and we had this whole conversation about not only that the Twin Towers coming down, we had conversations about why I was here, about Machu Picchu, and it just completely involved gestures and my little Spanish and his gestures and his very little English. And we had this wonderful just experience together. And at the very end, I said, you know, ¿cómo tu nombre? And he said, you know, mi nombre es Herman. And I said, mi nombre es Samantha. And he just stopped and he looked at me and he said, tu nombre es Samantha? I said, yes, sí. And he grabs his little nose, or he points to it and wiggles it and goes, magic. Anyone who watched Bewitched growing up, Samantha is the witch. And when I first had the name Samantha, well, I've always had the name Samantha, but in my early years, up until about 10, that's all anyone would say to me. Oh, can you wiggle your nose and make things happen? And of course, I loved Bewitched, so I hadn't heard that in some 25 years. And so for him to
there
do
you are,
that,
in some
I just
remote village
yeah,
in Peru
exactly.
in the mountains, 10,000 feet. Oh, magic,
right.
Samantha.
Magic, exactly. And we just had this great laugh.
Those are the moments, aren't they? And
yeah.
If you don't get out of your hotel and away from the tour group, you know, you're not that approachable when you're with the tour group. And if you do meet a local,
right?
They're just trying to make money off you. But if you venture away on your day off, that's when it happens.
And I always say, you know, I in a way, I don't travel alone because I'm with a shooting crew. But on my days off and when we're done shooting, I'm absolutely alone.
Yeah.
And I like being alone. And, you know, women are always asking me at the travel shows that you and I both go to a lot, you know, how do you feel about a woman traveling alone? And would you feel this is safe? I say, absolutely. In fact, I mean, I've been in cities that people look out for you. They really do. And you can feel it. And especially if you're a female alone, when you don't have a partner in crime, like either your spouse or your best friend, you have to be open to other people. And so it allows people to approach you and allows you to be approachable to them. So I always recommend traveling alone.
I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're speaking with Samantha Brown. Samantha Brown's travels have been entertaining us for more than a decade now. Hey, Samantha, give us just a quick recap of your career as a TV host for the Travel Channel. What are the series you've done, and then what are you up to now?
Sure. So the very first series was Great Vacation Homes. That led to Great Hotels, which led to Girl Meets Hawaii. Then there was Passport to Europe, Latin America, Asia, Weekend Getaways, and then our Asia series.
And then what are you doing lately?
And so now I just got back from Venice as well. We're shooting a new show called Trip of a Lifetime for the Travel Channel. And it's amazing. We're showing an area of Europe, mainly Venice, Croatia, Montenegro, that area, giving people ideas that this is a great area to be in. And then they build their Adriatic itinerary based on sort of our recommendations and, of course, what they would love to do. And the person with the best itinerary, I'm not sure how they're going to judge it, wins, get this, Rick, $100,000 for a trip to the Adriatic for them and three of their friends, so four people.
$100,000. You can buy a lot of sardines for $100,000.
Exactly. I ate a lot of sardines in Venice, let me tell you.
Hey, did you travel the Croatian coast then?
Oh, I didn't. You know, there's a few of the hosts that are doing this.
Yeah.
And so I got Venice and Prosecco.
Okay.
And, you know, when we're shooting, it's you breeze through things very quickly. I was doing a lot of stand-ups.
You know, I used to think when I was first getting into this travel that, I'll be in Copenhagen for 6 days. I'll be in Dublin for 6 days, making a half-hour show. I'll learn a lot. But the reality is, you spend 6 days in that place learning your lines and waiting for the rain to stop and doing all sorts of, sitting in office, trying to get permission to take the camera into the church and that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Tell us about your crew. When you're out on the road, how many people are in your crew?
I usually travel with a cameraman, a sound man, a producer. We pick up a fixer and a PA wherever we are in the country we're in. And very envious, I have my own stylist who takes care of my wardrobe and make sure my hair looks good. I know you have the same thing, Rick, because you always look so dashing.
Oh, yeah. When
and your
you look
lip
at my show, you know I've got a stylist. You've got a stylist. Wow.
I have a stylist. I do, because, you know, when you're in Cambodia and it's 110 degrees, you can't look like it's 110 degrees.
You know, I was just on your website. And by the way, Samantha-Brown.com is a great website. And I was reading about your stylist. You get touched up every 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah, sometimes. Yes, absolutely. And I need it. I mean, you definitely see where humidity can play. And just may I say, I think women are held to a very high standard when it comes to their look.
Yeah.
And even like TV executives don't understand, you know, I'll get notes that say, your hair looks terrible. Well, don't take me to New Orleans in August.
you know
there's a very easy way to solve this problem. We're not in a controlled environment in a studio like, you know, cooking shows are. You know, we're out there, and it can be grueling.
Do you ever look at Hillary Clinton and think, boy, she's just got jet lag and no stylist and working really hard? And if she was a man, nobody would notice. But
no one would notice. I look at Hillary Clinton and go, wow, I hope I have that stamina in the next 5 years, let alone.
Yeah. You and I would know how brutal that is to be on the road and then having to step off the plane and really function. But what's your stylist's name?
Her name is Christina Burns, and
well,
she's fantastic.
Well, you tell her she does a great job.
Thank you very much. She is amazing. Amazing.
I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're speaking with Samantha Brown. Samantha, we were talking about your crew. Have you ever done anything, or do you have any sort of tendencies that try the patience of your director?
Let's see.
In what way are you a high maintenance?
Oh yeah, you want the dirt on me, is that it?
I want
it?
The
is
dirt on it? You, yeah.
I get hungry and I get testy at 4 p.m., but everybody who works with me knows this. And I'll get these emails saying, Samantha needs energy bars and a cappuccino at 3:30 p.m. And if I don't have that, you know, I break down. So that's where if I'm hungry and tired, you know, that's when you see a lot of testiness.
I'm the same way. I steal a sandwich from breakfast and I just put it in a Ziploc baggie because we're out. You know, when the sun's good and you're out there in the streets doing your show, you can't stop the whole crew, but I just need something mid-morning or I can't smile on camera.
I agree. You get really low energy. And of course, you throw in heat.
Oh, yeah.
And there, it just drains you.
And if the host is not happy, the show will suffer.
That's right. We have a lot of power, don't we?
Keep Rick happy. And how are you involved in your production beyond hosting, or are you?
Oh, absolutely. Definitely in Passport to Europe and Latin America, I was heavily involved in the writing of the show.
Uh-huh.
And that was because, you know, they would be writing things for me, VO mainly.
Voiceover, that's what you would tape later, yeah.
Voiceover, and it just wasn't in my voice.
And right.
So for Passport to Europe, everything I said on camera as well, I wrote. And how I would do that is, you know, I'd never been to the Colosseum, but I would research the Colosseum and I would find, you know, 3-4 different points that I thought for me were just fascinating about it.
Mm-hmm.
So when we were there on the ground, I could kind of turn to which point I wanted to talk about instead of, you know, figuring out what I'm going to say. Great hotels and great vacation homes was completely improvised, you know, improvisational. But
right.
I find you can't improv on history. You can't just make dates up,
yeah,
unfortunately.
Well, that'll haunt you.
And, you know, when you, and I'm sure you feel the same way, when you finally get to these places that you've dreamed of going and you see them, you know, you're not eloquent at all. All you say is, wow, that's
right.
Awesome. You know, that's
and,
basically.
And when you get home, you realize what you could have shared while you were there with the crew.
Exactly.
And you kick yourself.
Right. So, you know, you're in Italy, you've got a permit, and that permit says you can shoot on sticks with a camera for an hour
right.
outside the Colosseum. After that, there's going to be 3 people telling you have to leave. So you've got an hour. So in that hour, I can't be figuring out what I'm going to say.
Right.
I need to, you know, have that ready. But I also want to convey the emotion of being there. And, you know, I've seen some travel shows where they're not really travelers. It's just, I remember seeing one where the person just looked up and goes, wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
Like, I just need a little more from you. Yeah, I just want a little more.
So does that actually determine what you're going to stay on camera then as you choose your favorite 3 or whatever dimensions of that site to talk about? Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, so we'll get there and we'll, you know, me with the cameraman and the producer, we'll just kind of assess the situation because we haven't had time to pre-pro it. This is the first time there.
Right.
And we'll say, what should we go with? Okay, we're going to go with this. And we all kind of meet, and it's definitely an ensemble approach of, this is an amazing shot. The sun is perfect because it's pointing in this direction. If, Sam, you want to do this, just understand that it's right near the traffic and there's too much noise and we're going to be fighting and maybe we should cut that idea. So we cut that idea. And this is all done in literally 5, 10 minutes.
Because you've got the clock ticking.
You've got the clock ticking.
So you go into the, let's say, the Colosseum then, Sam, and you know what three little factoids you want to share on camera.
Yeah. I'll have, you know, my scripts, as I call them, and it's just marked up with things that I just thought were fascinating.
That you want to say to the camera.
Yeah.
And then the other stuff will be written as voiceover that you'll tape later.
Yeah.
So you get there and you have to decide where you're going to shoot to cover those beautiful ideas.
Right. And a lot of times the voiceover is simply, the Colosseum is open from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Yeah, and you don't need
if
to say
you
that
go
on
here,
camera.
You can get, you know, so it's a little more instructional.
Right.
So I try to make sure that what the emotion of being there, the enjoyment of being in a place, and the great information that gets you really, you know, juiced to be there is me on camera. And then all the logistics can be voiceover.
That works very well. Now that you say that, remembering watching your shows, I think that that really is effective. I know you've got a background in theater and music. Does that impact your work?
The improvisation part, absolutely. And I think the performance part. You know, there are times when I'll watch my performance, as I call it, and I'm always looking at it saying, are you talking to a person sitting down? Or are you just talking to a camera and being kind of hosty, as we, you know, a presentery? So that there's a level of believability and authenticity that I feel is so important to watching and enjoying my show. And that's absolutely, you know, what I've learned from a background of being in the theater is being real, just being a real person. So
you can probably employ that when you're interacting with locals. I remember my producer would say, they'd have this dreaded command, interact. And I was supposed to go into this crowd of people I didn't know and look like I'm having a good time, you know. Do you ever have that challenge? Okay, the light's right. There's people here. Interact.
Yeah, exactly. And you're just the new kid coming into the cafeteria for the first time and everyone's looking at you and you just feel like, oh, everyone thinks I'm a loser. You know, you've got this huge camera
with this big
on
camera,
you.
And do you use a boom mic also?
The boom mic. What we'll do, and it puts us kind of at risk, is because we used to do that a lot. And I said, let's just, because obviously when a camera's there, we try to keep it as contained as possible, but it does, you know, it does affect the the energy of a place.
Well, the boom mic does too. See, I don't even use a boom mic because you got this stick hanging overhead with a mic hanging from it, and it just, everybody freezes up. So we dispense with that. And once in a blue moon, we have to bring out those reflectors, you know, those big giant dishes that reflect the sun, and then forget any kind of casual on-camera here. Everybody's going to be trying to get in the camera. In Norway, they call it lens lice. People try to walk into your camera.
Oh, yeah, and you have to stop the shot. it's a lot of fun. If people realized, and that's what I love talking about you know, it's not easy to get some of the shots that you just think take no time. And they don't. And you spend a lot of time.
Well, the trick is to make it look like it takes no time. But it does.
Right.
Samantha Brown tells us about her next big adventure in just a moment on Travel with Rick Steves. And we'll check in with listeners at 877-333-7425 for ideas on how to enjoy some of the fun of Europe this year, just like you belong there. You're listening to Travel with Rick Steves.